grace. Let us begin by calling to mind our sins and ask the Lord for his mercy and pardon. I confess May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Christe. Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison.
Let us pray. Grant, Almighty God, through the yearly observances of Holy Lent, that we may grow in understanding of the riches hidden in Christ. By worthy conduct, pursue their effects. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
May I now invite all the children who would like to participate in the children's liturgy to please come forward. Catechists, receive the Book of Gospels and teach these children who have been entrusted to your care. And you, my dear children, you now go forward to praise God in word and song. We will await your return so that together we can celebrate the Holy Eucharist. Go in peace.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God formed man out of the clay of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And so man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east and placed there the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground, the Lord God made various trees to grow that were delightful to look at and good for food, with the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the animals that the Lord God had made. The serpent asked the woman, "Did God really tell you not to eat from any trees in the garden?" The woman answered the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. It is only about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, you shall not eat it or even touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, You certainly will not die. No, God knows well that the moment you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like gods, who know what is good and what is evil. The woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eyes, and desirable for gaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of the Lord.
Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. For I acknowledge my offense, and my sin is before me always. Against you only have I sinned, and done which is evil in your sight. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. A clean heart create for me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Give me back the joy of your salvation, and a willing spirit sustain in me. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, through one man sin entered the world, and through sin, death. And thus death came to all men, inasmuch as all sinned. For if by the transgression of the one, death came to reign through that one, how much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of justification come to reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. In conclusion, just as through one transgression condemnation came upon all, so through one righteous act acquittal and life came to all. For just as though the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give to you if you prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord. The theme for the first Sunday of Lent is on the temptations. And we see the theme of temptations running across the readings. The first reading is on the temptations of the first two people that God created, Adam and Eve. They were tempted by the serpent, who represents the devil. Unfortunately, they succumbed to the temptation. With that, they incurred upon the human race what the church calls original sin. That means everybody, by the mere fact of being a descendant of Adam and Eve, is born with original sin. What is that type of original sin? It is the tendency to rebel against God. And we see that also happening in the gospel reading, that Jesus was also tempted. Unlike Adam and Eve, Jesus overcame the temptations. So he defeated the devil. I have divided my homily into two parts. The first part, I will share with her the theological significance of the temptations. Why are they important? Why were they recorded? What do they mean? Well, what do they tell us about Jesus? So, the temptations in relationship to the identity of Jesus. And the last part, the second part, I will talk about how these temptations also affect us as human beings. When we read the Gospel of Matthew, from which we have had our Gospel reading, we notice that Matthew makes out this point clearly, that he is presenting Jesus as the fulfillment of Old Testament scriptures. So, around Christmas, when we were reading about the infancy narratives, for example, about the baby Jesus, Matthew would make allusions to the Old Testament. For example, Matthew talked about Joseph, for example, Joseph who had a dream, and that also evokes the memory of Joseph in the Old Testament, who also had dreams. Joseph, the father of Jesus, sought asylum in Egypt, and that also evokes the Old Testament Joseph, who found himself in Egypt when his brothers sold him in slavery. We have read a few Sundays ago that Jesus went up a mountain where he began teaching his disciples. The Sermon on the Mount, from which we have been reading, we have been taking our gospel readings for the past 3-4 Sundays. That evokes the memory of a prominent figure in the Old Testament, Moses, who also went up the mountain to have a conversation with God. And at the end of that conversation, he was given the commandments, which he gave to the Israelites. Now, Jesus, as the new Moses, goes up the mountain. And whatever he says in the Sermon on the Mountain, that now becomes the new law for the people of God. So anyway, Matthew presents Jesus as the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. He presents Jesus as a new and greater Moses. We see that happening in the gospel reading, the temptations of Jesus, because the temptations of Jesus also have some parallels with the temptations of Adam and Eve. What Matthew is trying to say is, Jesus is now the new Adam. After creating the first Adam, who succumbed to the temptations of the devil, Jesus, as the new Adam, is the one who can defeat the devil. So that's why we see the temptations, for example, of Adam and Eve. You have seen that there is actually a threefold mention of the temptations. The woman, so that the fruit was good for food, pleasing to the eyes, and desirable for wisdom. So we have the threefold mention of the temptation. And Jesus in the gospel reading was also tempted 3 times. The significance might also be the same. The woman saw that the fruit was good for food. Jesus was tempted to turn bread, to turn stones into bread. We see the aspect of food coming up. The woman saw that the tree was pleasing to the eyes. A temptation to do with the eyes. Jesus was taken to the highest point of the temple. Definitely when he looked down, what did he see? He saw thousands and thousands of pilgrims who frequented the temple. And he was thinking of how best to launch his ministry so that he could attract more and more people. Many people should believe in him. What about launching his ministry in this spectacular way by jumping down so that people could easily believe in him? The woman saw that the tree was pleasing to the eyes. The woman saw that the fruit was desirable for wisdom. Jesus was taken to the highest mountain, and the devil seduced Jesus to prostrate before him so that he could be given power, political power. Wisdom and political power, that hinges on pride. What is the theological significance of the temptations once again? To portray Jesus as a new Adam, who, unlike the first Adam, Jesus has the capability to defeat the devil, to overcome the temptations. We also have the number 40, which is quite significant. Jesus fasted for 40 days. And that evokes the number 40 in the Old Testament, where the Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years on their exodus from the Egyptian captivity to the promised land. Now Jesus has come to lead a greater exodus, not from Egyptian captivity, but exodus from sin. This is what is at the core of the temptations. Now, if you may allow me to talk about the meaning of each of these temptations and how they affect us. Jesus had fasted for 40 days. At the end of that period, he was hungry. Now the devil approaches him. If you are the Son of Man, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread. This doesn't sound like a bad idea. After all, Jesus was hungry. But this temptation stands for the desire to satisfy hunger, but any, like all physical needs. So the desire for materialism, anything that appeals to the senses. We must be careful when we have this temptation to prioritize physical satisfaction of needs over spiritual obedience. The devil was very clever. He used hunger to seduce Jesus. So Jesus might have been at his weakest point. And what is your weakest point? That is what the devil can use to seduce you. The second temptation, the devil took Jesus to the highest point of the temple. And after showing him, he said, "Why don't you jump down to impress all these people?" This is a temptation that challenges trust in God. Where I come from, my country, Malawi, one of the challenges to authentic Christianity is not like other religions, but a form of diluted Christianity that preaches prosperity gospel. When people are looking for jobs, are struggling with getting medical care, there's the rise of prophets that reduce religion, that reduce God to a miracle worker. So reducing religion to sensationalism to miracles. Perhaps this can also affect us. If we pray for healing, for our own healing, healing of a loved one, when they don't get cured, we may lose trust in God. This is a temptation that challenges our trust in God. Jesus was able to resist that temptation. And the final one, the final temptation, Jesus was taken to the highest mountain, and the devil was able to show him the surrounding kingdoms. He offered to give some of those kingdoms to Jesus in exchange for worship. This is a temptation against pride. Pride is a form of idolatry. What is worship? Because Jesus says, "The Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." What is worship? Worship is to ascribe worth to something. So what is it that we ascribe worth to? Is it money? Is it power? Is it success? Whatever occupies the center stage in our life, that becomes the God that we worship. Let's be careful. The devil can use our greatest concern to draw us away from God. What is it that concerns us most? What we see in this, Jesus now teaches us how to defeat the devil and all temptations. One thing for sure, Jesus uses his knowledge of the scriptures. The devil is also able to quote the Holy Scripture, though wrongly. Now, if the devil is able to quote from Holy Scripture, that means the devil knows the Holy Bible, although he can twist its meaning. Then what about us? This also means we have to develop our love for reading the Holy Bible. We have to develop hunger for listening to the Word of God. Jesus used that to overcome the devil. Finally, we must be careful with the temptations that come our way, because temptations begin with defiance against God. The idea to fight for moral autonomy. The devil seduced Adam and Eve so that they could disobey God. That was the whole point, the meaning of eating the forbidden fruit. What is the forbidden fruit? What does that mean, to eat the forbidden fruit, as it was portrayed in Genesis? It simply means Adam and Eve set aside what God had told them, and they prescribed for themselves what is good and bad. God already has his commandments, and we must subscribe to those. But out of pride, we prescribe for ourselves a personal code of conduct. And that is pride. So every sin begins with this notion of rebellion against God. It is therefore proper that at the very beginning of this Lenten season, the church prepares for us this text about the temptations, so that we can think about this as we go ahead with this 40-day pilgrimage. Let us pray for strength today to overcome the devil and his temptations. And let us pray for that grace to stay always with God.
I believe in one God, as we begin this season of Lent by venturing into the desert with Christ, let us direct our petitions with confidence to our Heavenly Father.
That the good news of salvation announced throughout the world may enlighten those who do not yet believe in God, let us pray to the Lord. For an end to violence, greed, and hatred, and that the peace of Christ will reign in the world, let us pray to the Lord. For those whose hearts have become hardened, that they may be freed from cynicism, doubt, and despair, let us pray to the Lord. For those preparing to enter the church at Easter, that they be blessed in these days of preparation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For the poor, the lonely, the depressed, the sick, and the suffering, that through our compassion they may experience the tenderness of Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For our St. Benedict's community, especially Tom Barrett, our parish family, and everyone included in our parish prayer tree, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For the grace this week to overcome temptation and begin our Lenten observations with joy, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we bring these petitions to you, trusting in your providential love and care. Please hear and answer them through Christ our Lord.
Please join us for our offertory hymn, number 561 in Breaking Bread, Praise to the Holiest in the Height.
Praise to the Holiest in the height, and in the depth be praised. In all his words most wonderful, most sure in all his ways. O loving wisdom of our God, when all was sin and shame, a second Adam to the fight and to the rescue came. O wisest love that flesh and blood, which did in Adam fail,
should strive afresh against the foe, should strive and should prevail. And that a higher gift than grace should flesh and blood refine, God's presence and his very self and essence all divine. O generous love, that he who smote in man for man the foe, the double agony in man for man should undergo. And in the garden secretly, and on the cross on high, should teach his brethren and inspire to suffer and to die.
Pray now, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands, for the praise and glory of God's name, for our good and all God's holy church.
Give us the right dispositions, O Lord, we pray, to make these offerings, for with them we celebrate the beginning of this venerable and sacred time. Through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with
lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. By abstaining 40 long days from earthly food, he consecrated through his fast the pattern of our Lenten observance. And by overturning all the snares of the ancient serpent, taught us to cast out the leaven of malice, so that celebrating worthily the Paschal mystery, we might pass over at last to the eternal Paschal feast. And so with the company of angels and saints, we sing the hymn of your praise as without end we acclaim.
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice and, once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have heard us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Leo, our Pope, Paul, our Archbishop, Eusebio and Frank, our auxiliary bishops, and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of their resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, and with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen.
At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we now dare to say,
"Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil."
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
The power and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. The peace of the Lord be with you always. And let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Agnus Dei, qui tollis peccata mundi, miserere nobis. Agnus Dei, qui tollis peccata mundi, miserere nobis. Agnus Dei, qui tollis peccata mundi, dona nobis pacem.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Please join us for our communion hymn, number 368 in Breaking Bread, Shepherd of Souls.
Shepherd of souls, refresh and bless your chosen pilgrim flock. With manna in the wilderness, with water from the rock. We would not live by bread alone, but by your word of grace.
in strength of which we travel on to our abiding place. Be known to us in breaking bread, but do not then depart. Savior, abide with us and spread your table in our heart. Lord, sup with us in love divine, your body and your blood, that living bread, that heavenly wine, be our immortal food.
Number 664, Hosea.
Come back to me with all your heart. Don't let fear keep us apart. Trees do bend, though straight and tall, so must we to others call. Long have I waited for your coming, home to me and living deeply our new life. The wilderness will lead you to your heart, where I will speak integrity. And justice with tenderness you shall know. Long have I waited for your coming, home to me and living deeply our new life. You shall sleep secure with peace. Faithfulness will be your joy. Long have I waited for your coming, home to me and living deeply our new life. Back to me. Shall sleep secure with peace. Faithfulness will be your joy. Long have I waited for your coming, home to me and living deeply our new life. Thank you.
Let us pray. Renewed now with heavenly bread, by which faith is nourished, hope increased, and charity strengthened, we pray, O Lord, that we may learn to hunger for Christ, the true and living bread, and strive to live by every word which proceeds from your mouth. Through Christ our Lord.
There are several announcements. We're grateful for all the stewardship pledges we've received. Your support helps the parish plan for the year ahead. If you haven't yet made your pledge, please use the card in the pews and return it to the collection basket next week or the QR code in the bulletin. We invite you to explore our Lenten traditions and join us as we journey through this sacred time. We have the Stations of the Cross this Friday, February 27th at 6 p.m. at St. Alphonsus, followed by a community dinner at the Family Center. If you're able, bring a pot of soup and some bread or help with setup and cleanup. Most importantly, though, your presence is what matters. On March 7th, the Stations of the Cross will be at St. John, again followed by a soup supper at Egan Hall. Lenten Retreat is February 28th, Saturday, at 1 p.m. at St. Al's Family Center, and Father Incolumbizzo and our faith formation team are there to bolster your faith and empower you to return to God through the act of accompaniment. The Camino de Seattle is March 7th, and that starts at 1 p.m. at St. John. We'll walk across the three parishes praying the Stations of the Cross at each church while enjoying fellowship. There are free Lenten books for adults and teens available in the vestibule. It's a gift from our parish family. Please feel free to take one. And finally, Catholic Relief Services rice bowls are also available in the vestibule. You can take one home and then return it at the end of Lent. Mark your calendars for the next listening sessions that'll take place after Easter on the weekend of April 19th and 18th and 19th and 25th and 26th, along with one weekday option to be determined. These will focus on the next steps in building Parish Family 14. There are more details about this and other events in our bulletin. Next week, the first Sunday of the month, we'll have a special collection for the San Martin de Porres sandwich making ministry, and we ask that everyone donate generously. Finally, please join us for coffee and donuts, hosted by Andrea and Gary Dos Santos after Mass in the school cafeteria.
So I'm so glad to see all of you since I last celebrated my Mass here at the end of my 10-week schedule last November. Of course, I did show up on Christmas Eve. I'm now back to the schedule, this schedule as well. And please take note of the additional Mass, which has been added to our parish family. So every Thursday evening, beginning with confessions at 5, and then Mass at 6. If you can, please, let's come and pray together, because this season of Lent, we are also encouraged to pray more. I wish you a very prayerful Lenten season, and may God bless all of you. The Lord be with you. Bow down for God's blessing. May bountiful blessing, O Lord, we pray, come down upon your people, that hope may grow in tribulation, virtue be strengthened in temptation, and eternal redemption be assured through Christ our Lord. And may the blessings of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down on you and remain with you forever. Go forth, the Mass is ended.
Our closing hymn is number 140, Lord, who throughout these 40 days, number 140.
these 40 days for us did fast and pray. Teach us with you to mourn our sins and close by you to stay. As you with Satan did contend and did the victory win, oh, give us strength in you to fight, in you to conquer sin. As you did hunger, bear, and thirst, so teach us, gracious Lord, to die to self and always live by your most holy word.